Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And coming up on What's for Dinner today, sheet pan meals, also Sunday dinner, and the drink of the week. All this is coming up. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer & Weekon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hammer & Weekon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, and sometimes I cooked real flops, and I still cook real flops. In fact, I tried to make a peanut butter chocolate pan sort of brownie thing yesterday, and it was a total flop. I mean, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I tried to make, dark chocolate on top with, a peanut butter base, and I wanted to do something gluten-free. And so I was trying to use some almond and coconut byproduct from making coconut almond milk. You know, I had this leftover bulk, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try to make something with it. So I tried to mix that with peanut butter and some other stuff and then put the chocolate over the top and some butter, put it in the fridge to, you know, set a little bit. And it never quite did, you know, sit the way I wanted it to. But you can find a great recipe for that on the Internet. It's like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup knockoff thing, but you need to add a couple cups of ground up graham cracker, and I wanted to try something different, and it totally was a flop. So there you go, that's a flop. And I'm sure I'll come up with something soon to make something chocolatey and peanut buttery that I like, that's easy, that I don't have to put in a muffin tin or something like that. Anyway, but I did have a lot of successes this last week, and a lot of successes and a lot of cooking in the kitchen meant tons and tons and tons of dishes. It just seemed like I was never ending with the dishes this week. It was constant. I would clean up the kitchen, and then I would go to cook something else, and then back to washing dishes. It's like I need my own personal dishwasher, and I don't have a dishwasher at home, but that really wouldn't help me because I'm using those same dishes over and over again, so there's no way I could let the dishes sit in the dishwasher and wash for 2 hours or even an hour. So, yeah, lots of dishes, but lots of successes in the kitchen this week. A couple of them, I made a hummus with a roasted red pepper pesto, and also I pan roasted some pine nuts and put that over the top, maybe with a little bit of fresh parsley garnish, and that was delicious. And I had soaked some garbanzo beans. And, you know, I really needed to use up the garbanzo beans. So we've eaten a lot of garbanzo beans in different ways at my house. But I made a big batch of hummus. And it was a pretty easy hummus. But I soaked the garbanzo beans, and then I boiled the garbanzo beans until they were nice and cooked. And then I actually put them in a cast iron skillet with a little bit of olive oil and some spices. I used curry, and I used some, you know, curries and things like that. I also put it in the pan with a little bit of onion, and so I cooked it with the onion until it was soft, and then I made sure the garbanzo beans were kind of getting brown, and kind of, you know, areas were really kind of almost burning but not quite burning. They were super great without even making pesto out of it. But then I threw them in the food processor with some olive oil and lemon, and of course salt and pepper, and delicious. I just put it in a bowl, and I just bought some roasted red pepper pesto. It's in the kind of the pasta section at Hammer and Wecon. And you, like on the top shelf up there, you can find some pestos and things. So this was the roasted red pepper. I just didn't have time to make my own. And I just jarred some of that, took some of that out of the jar, put it over the top of it, roasted some pine nuts, sprinkled those on top, and also some chopped parsley for color. And then a little more olive oil on the top and a little splash of salt and pepper. And that was great. Ate that, a lot of that. That was delicious. And, So there's a good hummus. And you don't have to soak your own garbanzo beans. However, it's so cheap and so easy. If you've never done that, go ahead and give it a try. Soak them overnight. And then you need to rinse them. And then put them in some new water with some salt and pepper and all that. And then boil them until they're done. And then you can use them any way you want to. Also, I made some cheesy potatoes. No need to tell you the recipe for that. And, you know, I only make these, like, maybe once a year. And this is a craft recipe, so it's the craft recipe, so you can imagine. It's good. Everyone loves it. And if I'm taking it somewhere, I need to take out a few little spoonfuls and set it aside, just because I know when it comes back, there's not going to be any left. And you can find the cheesy potato recipe on Kraft website, or just Google cheesy potatoes Kraft, and you're going to find this recipe that calls for the potatoes, the southern style potatoes, the small potatoes in the frozen section of the grocery store. And you're also going to need it calls for cream of chicken soup, but I used cream of celery. And then you need cheddar cheese, and you need sour cream, and you can put something crispy over the top, you know, like maybe breadcrumbs with butter and parmesan, or you could, you know, you've seen cornflakes before. I didn't put any of that on top, but it certainly was good. And so made that, and that was a total hit. And even people who don't really want to eat the cheesy potatoes, they find themselves taking a couple spoonfuls of those. So if you're looking for something super easy, you know, it's like your kid just tells you, like, the day before or the day of, I've got to have something, and then you can whip up cheesy potatoes pretty quick. Also, I made a blueberry coffee cake a couple different times in a big sheet pan, and that's always good. And this blueberry coffee cake isn't like a blueberry buckle, and it's not... It's a little different type of coffee cake because it's the cake part is actually like cake, but a little more dense, and you spread half the mixture into your pan, and then you put your blueberry pie filling, your homemade blueberry pie filling, or you can buy some, And even if you buy some, you can sprinkle on a few fresh blueberries. And then you have to put on the rest of the cake batter over the top. Bake it in the oven, very easy, for like 40 minutes. And then take it out, let it cool. And I usually put like an almond, some sort of almond glaze over the top. I was going to give you that recipe today because it came from my good friend Sue Runyon that I used to work with in Iowa. And she made that once and brought it into the hospital I used to work. I used to be in the medical field. And it was so delicious that I asked her for the recipe, and I've been making it ever since. That was like, you know, early 90s, late 80s, and it's still a huge hit. And I thought for sure I'd given you that recipe before on What's for Dinner, and I get here to my office and go to print it this morning, and sure enough, it's not on there. So I'll give you the blueberry coffee cake recipe maybe in a week or two. But delicious recipe. That was a hit. Also, I made chicken with squash risotto and some buttered corn, and I just love it when Evelyn has friends over that aren't real picky eaters, because you can still have a good meal without just having to have pizza or, you know, the usual thing that a picky kid might eat. And anyway, so I ended up making chicken, and this is so easy to make. And it wasn't really even the squash risotto, but you can buy this up at Hammer and Wecon, and I don't know if they have it down at TU, but you can buy this big bag of, in the Costco section or the bulk section, a big bag of this squash risotto mix. It has the rice and the dehydrated squash and all of the seasonings and everything with it. And so I buy that for when I'm really wanting something quick. And you don't have to use it just to make risotto. I bought some chicken thighs and chicken legs, and I browned them in a cast iron pan, and a pretty big one. And then I set them aside, and then I added to the pan some onion. And I also added some garlic, because it left some of the chicken juice and fat like in the pan. And so go ahead and leave that in there, and then you don't need to add anything. You don't need to add any more oil to the pan. And you add your onion, and then I added a couple cups of this squash risotto, put that in there, and stirred it around until it browned a little bit and started to take on all of those flavors. And then I hit it with about a half a cup of white wine. And it immediately absorbs the wine, which is great. And then I just added like 4 cups of chicken broth. And then put the chicken back in there after I had browned the chicken. It all goes in there. Super easy. You can turn the oven on 350 and throw it all in the oven. Or you can just leave it on the stovetop and let it cook down a little bit, kind of on a low, medium-low, but I just threw mine in the oven on 350. And voila, I took the top off so everything can get nice and brown, make sure all the moisture cooks out of it. Perfect. And I had some packages of frozen corn. I didn't use fresh corn. Frozen corn in the freezer, and I just threw that in the pan with a little water, steamed it, threw on some butter, and it was a great meal, and the kids loved it. And Evelyn's friend, I don't know how many helpings of the rice she had. It was fun to watch. But we had lots of leftovers. This is just going on and on, the amount of cooking that I did this week. Also, I made pork chops one night. Evelyn, she was out with her grandma. So I made for Rodney and I just a couple pork chops. And I put them in a cast iron skillet. But before that, I had baked the small yellow potatoes in my cast iron skillet. So I just put them in there dry. I pierced them a little bit, put them in the oven on 350, and baked them. And boy, they got such a nice crust on them in the oven. in that skillet. I mean, it was just, it was great. And then I just took the skillet out of the oven, put the potatoes away, threw in the pork chops. I seasoned them. I made, and I've been working with it all week long, I made a seasoning that is just, well, it's salt, and then garlic, and Chinese red pepper flakes. It is so good. I've been having it on everything. It's such a great seasoning. So I seasoned the pork chops with that, and then I just browned them. And it doesn't take long to cook a pork chop. Set those aside, and then I threw in some Brussels sprouts that we've had in the fridge that I really needed to use up. And I just Brussels sprouts with some olive oil and a little lemon. It was delicious. It all went together well. That was a nice dinner. The potatoes didn't really even need anything on them at all. We just ate them. No butter, no sour cream. They were delicious. And then I needed something to cook for dinner last night, and really I just, like, I had this fridge with some leftovers, and I talked about last week, you know, it looked like we were going to, you know, the fridge was going to be empty and I needed to go to the store, and then now by the end of this week, you know, there's lots of these little leftovers sitting around, so I decided I was going to make a soup out of them, and I made a super great soup. We had it for dinner last night, and it was a chicken and rice soup, so I just took the leftover chicken, the leftover squash risotto that was with the chicken. I also used the leftover buttered corn. I used the leftover Brussels sprouts that we had. I also used, I didn't use the baked potatoes because I was already putting in some of that that rice. So yeah, I just basically I took an onion that I had, and also a couple of carrots, and chopped them up, put them in with a little bit of olive oil in my cast iron kind of a soup pan, and then until they became tender. And then I added the buttered corn and the Brussels sprouts. Of course, I cut them up a little bit more. And then I also added a little bit of chicken broth to that and really let them cook together well. And then once it was all cooked, the carrots were cooked up, then I added, I don't know, it was probably about 6 or 7 cups of chicken broth. And then I also added the chicken, the leftover chicken thighs and legs. I added those. I just took all the meat off the bone and threw it all in the pot. I also added almost all of the leftover squash risotto and seasoned it, of course, with some salt and pepper, some fresh parsley, and it made just a delicious chicken and rice soup. So there you go. One of these days we should do a What's for Dinner contest, and maybe we get a couple people together and everybody could bring some sort of leftovers and we'll see what they make out of it, right? So it was good to use up all of those leftovers, and I still had a few things in the refrigerator, and with that I made a dish that I'm going to tell you about here shortly on the next section of What's for Dinner Today, but sheet pan eggs and veggies. So good. But in the morning, I also made some apricot eboskivers. Evelyn's little friend Leah, one time she was spending the night, I made eboskivers, and she loved them so much that she asked for them again. So I decided to make them as long as they would whip the egg whites, which they did. I'm going to give you that recipe for the eboskivers because they are so fun, and it's a perfect gift to give someone, an eboskiver pan, which those are little Danish pancakes, and then a recipe for eboskivers and possibly some homemade jam that they could use with them. It's a great gift. This one is calls for 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1.5 teaspoons of sugar, and 2 separated eggs, and 1 cup of milk, 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, 1/2 cup of jam, and then some powdered sugar. I doubled this recipe, 2 11-year-olds, and then myself, which I just had 2, and then my husband, he had a couple of them. But these are so good to just sit on the counter with the leftovers, and, you know, it's a perfect snack throughout the day, and Evelyn and her friend munched on them all day long. So it was kind of fun. So I doubled the recipe. And you whisk the flour, the baking powder, and the salt. And then a large bowl, you whisk the egg yolks, the milk, and the melted butter. I also added the sugar to that, 1 1/2 teaspoons of sugar. And you whisk all of that together. And then you stir in the dry ingredients. So you have like a lumpy batter, just like when you're making pancakes. And then in another bowl, a small bowl, you're going to beat your egg whites and until stiff, but not dry peaks, about 3 minutes. And we just took turns doing that by hand, which was fun. The girls did a good job. And we fold the egg whites into the batter. And then you have your Ebelskiver pan, which is a pan that kind of has half round circles in it, and it's in 2 parts, or at least mine is. You have the base, which just sits on the burner, and then the top part just fits right over it. And so it's not quite sitting on the heat, but it's creating heat. The heat is kind of building up underneath it, but it's not right on the stove. And about medium-high heat, put a little bit of butter in the well of each mold, and then when it starts to bubble, you add your batter. And you put in about 1 tablespoon of batter. And then once you're done with that, then you go back and put in about 1 teaspoon of jam. And then you top with another bit of batter. I almost feel like 1 tablespoon and 1 tablespoon is too much, but you can look at it. I mean, if it starts to overflow, it's too much. And then let them cook until the bottoms are golden, about 4 minutes. And then you need to flip them. And when you flip them, it's like you're just flipping the bottom to the top. And so they're just flipping over, and everything that's uncooked is now on the bottom. So you have the dome on the top, and it's cooking. And everybody has a certain way that they do it. You could use a chopstick, which is what I used. You could use a skewer. You could use a fork to flip them. It takes a little bit of practice, but it's not hard. And then when you take them out, they're just these beautiful little round golden puffs filled with jam. I've put Nutella in them before, and that's good. And transfer them to a plate. You can tent them with foil, and then I usually get my little powdered sugar duster out and dust them all with powdered sugar. That's a good Ebelskiver recipe. And this one's from Serious Eats. If you want the recipe and can't find it, you can email mindy@kfsk.org, and I will get that to you. Remember, it makes a great gift, an Ebelskiver pan, a recipe, and some jam. It's a great gift. Housewarming gift or birthday gift. So, and the cooking continues on. I made lots of bread and lots of other stuff, but one thing that I made last night to go along with the chicken and rice soup, I wanted to have something else with the chicken and rice soup. And I was looking at an article in a magazine. It talked about baking eggs in a sheet pan, and I thought, oh, I have everything here for that, and I won't have to go to the grocery store. I'm going to give this a try. Plus, we've been trying to eat more eggs. We have chickens. And so I made the sheet pan eggs and veggies, and that's coming up next on What's for Dinner. We're going to talk about sheet pan meals. I'm so excited. Sheet pans are my favorite thing right now. That's coming up. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 8, serving locally grown food and fresh-caught seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads. Beer and wine available, 772-2090. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today we're talking about sheet pan meals. Before we took a break, I mentioned that sheet pans are my new favorite cooking utensil, really. I've just been using them so much lately. They hardly get washed and dried, and I'm on to the next something with them. And I've been going through a lot of parchment, and most of these recipes you want to use parchment. And then you don't have to like spend so much time cleaning your pan. But, you know, nothing hardly sticks to parchment. It's great. I love it. So, sat down for a few minutes yesterday, looked at a magazine, and in it was this article about this book, One Pan Supper Cookbook. It's called Sheet Pan Suppers. And the author, and her name is Molly Gilbert, and she's becoming quite famous for her sheet pan suppers. I don't have the book, but I'm definitely going to order it. And you know what? We should have her on What's for Dinner. So one of these days I'll give her a call and see if she can join us. But until then, I mentioned last night I was inspired to make something with the sheet pan and eggs. I had all these eggs. And I saw that Molly had a recipe that used some kale, and I thought, oh, this will be perfect. So I went out to the garden and picked a lot of kale, and then I had a few more leftovers to use. I still had those baked potatoes left over. I also had a couple portobello mushrooms in there that have been in there for like a couple weeks, but you know, portobellos, they stay really good. So I had I used one of those. I sliced up the portobello. I cut the baked potatoes into kind of little matchsticks, but not super small. I also used a white onion that I had, and I had about a third of a white onion left, and I just cut that into slivers. And I took the kale and cut it into just pieces. I just ran a knife through it till it was in some nice pieces. And I took all of that and put it in a bowl and put a little olive oil on it, salt and pepper, and actually some fennel salt. Yum, because that's so good with veggies. And then toss that around a little bit, put it on a baking sheet or a jelly roll pan, a smaller one, not the huge one, with a little bit of parchment on it, and I spread all of that around on there and put it in the oven and baked it at 350 for, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe. And that kale actually became crispy in areas, and the cool thing was the potatoes were already cooked, and the onions, you know, they got a little brown, and of course it doesn't take much for a mushroom. Once I let that cook a little bit, then I took it out of the oven and I tossed it one more time. And then I kind of divided it somewhat into four separate little piles on the pan, and then made a well in the center. The piles weren't high. They were just, I mean, if you spread your hand out, they're like that. And I left the little well in the center for the egg. And I broke open an egg in each one and put it back in the oven. season the egg before I put it in, and then took it out, and as soon as the egg stopped jiggling, and it was like nice and shiny still, but stopped jiggling, I took it out, and I made a bunch of bread this weekend, but I had enough dough left over for one little boule, and I had baked that up on Saturday night, and so I had some of that left, so I sliced the bread. I had just enough for four nice thick pieces, and I toasted it, and then when I took the pan out of the oven with the eggs and the kale mixture, I just took my spatula and slid that underneath and lifted each one up onto this piece of toasted bread and then onto a plate. And then I took some Pecorino Romano, a nice couple shavings of that, and put it on top of each one. So it was kind of like this really good egg and kale and vegetable bruschetta in a way. And with the soup, it was a great meal. Perfect. Delicious. I kind of overcooked the eggs a little bit. I thought I would rather have mine pretty runny, but it wasn't as runny as I had wanted it. Next time I'll keep an eye on it a little bit more. Yum. That was so inspired to do that more, that I decided to look up more of these sheet pan meals and found all sorts of ideas. And of course, Molly Gilbert, she is got a ton of ideas, and I can't wait to check out her book. But in the meantime, here's lots of ideas that I have come up with. So get out your sheet pans, and this is so easy, and you're not going to make a mess hardly at all, and everything's going to be cooked at the same time. How's that? You're going to get veggies. I didn't find a whole lot of sheet pan meals for just veggies, but you can imagine. It's a sheet pan full of roasted veggies. You can roast veggies and chickpeas and beans and all kinds of stuff together. Most of these recipes are going to call for some sort of meat with potatoes or a veggie. So I'm going to start off with this recipe. This is a roasted chicken with potatoes, arugula, and garlic yogurt. And it calls for half a pound of chicken thighs and drumsticks, 1 1/4 pound of small Yukon Gold potatoes, halved and cut into half-inch slices. Also some kosher salt, a couple teaspoons, black pepper, 2 tablespoons of harissa, or use another thick hot sauce such as sriracha, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cumin, 4 1/2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 leeks with the white and green parts only, light green parts, halved lengthwise and thinly sliced. And you know leeks, they have a lot of sandy stuff in them, so you kind of have to open them up a little bit, run them through the water, and get that stuff out of there. 1/2 teaspoon of lemon zest from 1/2 lemon, 1/3 cup of plain yogurt, 1 small garlic clove, 2 ounces of baby arugula, which is so good fresh on warm things. Yum. It just, that extra spice and freshness. Then some chopped fresh dill and lemon juice. So very easy. This is super easy. Combine your chicken and potatoes in a large bowl. Season with salt and pepper. In a small bowl, whisk together the harissa, cumin, and 3 tablespoons of oil, and pour that over the chicken and potatoes. Toss to combine. Let it sit at room temperature for about 30 minutes, or you can set it in the fridge for up to 8 hours. So you can do it in the morning before you go to work, and let it sit there all day if you work 8 hours. Meanwhile, in a medium bowl, you can combine leeks, lemon zest, a pinch of salt, and the remaining 1 1/2 teaspoons of oil. Heat your oven to 325. Arrange the chicken and potatoes on a large rimmed baking sheet in a single layer. And I would put parchment down first. Roast for 15 minutes. Toss the potatoes lightly. Scatter the leeks over the pan, and then roast until the chicken and potatoes are cooked through and everything is golden and slightly crisped. 25 to 30 minutes longer. And, you dirtied up a large bowl. and then you put everything on your and then you stuck it in the fridge, and then you use the sheet pan, and while it's in there cooking, you can wash your bowl, and that's it. I mean, that's all the dirtying of dishes that you're going to do, except for maybe your tongs or something like that. While your chicken cooks, place the yogurt in a small bowl and grate the garlic over the yogurt, seasoned with salt and pepper. And to serve it, you can spoon the yogurt over the chicken and vegetables in the pan and scatter the arugula and dill over the mixture. Drizzle with oil and lemon juice to serve. I mean, I think this sheet pan can just go right on the table on a couple of trivets, right in the middle of the table. If that's how you usually sit down and have dinner. So good and easy. So there's a sheet pan meal for you right there. I have so many more. I'll have to, you know, I'm going to have to go through these because I'm not going to be able to give them all to you. Otherwise, we'd be here for 2 hours. Here is another one. For those of you who like pierogies and kielbasa, and these are easy because you're just going to buy the pierogies. You're not going to make them yourself. But if you do want to make your own pierogies, go for it. But these just call for the pierogies that you buy in the frozen section at the grocery store, and you just use those. So, yeah, this can get you dinner on the table even on the busiest nights, so... 2 14-ounce packages of kielbasa. And, of course, you can get those in the stores. A couple of medium onions peeled and halved, cut into half-inch thick strips. 2 baby bell peppers stemmed and seeded and halved. And or you can use, like, just a large bell pepper, a couple large bell peppers. And you could use the colored ones too, maybe one orange one and one yellow one or a red one. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon plus 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 24 frozen pierogies, a couple tablespoons of canola or peanut oil, tablespoon of chili powder, a couple teaspoons of Tabasco or your preferred hot sauce. 1/2 teaspoon of granulated garlic or garlic powder, and 1/2 teaspoon of onion or onion powder. And then, of course, you want some Dijon mustard or some smooth Dijon, grainy Dijon, spicy brown. You want some mustard for serving. So preheat your oven to 400. Cut the kielbasa into 4 to 6 inch lengths and arrange on the outside of the sheet pan. Put the parchment down first. Toss the onions and the bell peppers with the olive oil, the salt, the pepper, and then put that down in between the lengths of the kielbasa on the outside of your pan. Then in the same large mixing bowl you used for the peppers and onions, toss the pierogies with the remaining ingredients and arrange them in the center of the sheet pan. And you want as many pierogies to touch the pan as possible. You don't want them in layers, because you're going to want to cook it evenly. Place in the pan in the oven. After 15 minutes, you can try to remember to flip the pierogies over. And then, but if you forget, it's not a disaster. But try to remember to just flip them halfway through. Then you're going to bake an additional 15 minutes for a total of 30 minutes, or until the pierogies are fluffy and show some golden browning. And the sausages will be plump, the onions are crisp and tender. Serve immediately with a nice salad. Isn't that so easy? But it doesn't just have to be a kielbasa. You could use this recipe with other sausages too. So think about these recipes and how you could turn some of your favorite sausages and some of your favorite items into these one-pan meals. Right on a cookie sheet. This one's a little bit different, and I love this one. I wanted to share it because I'm totally going to try this. I think it's decadent, and it's going to be perfect for a brunch. A spinach and cheddar rolled omelet. This one uses a jelly roll pan too, and it's a 10 by 15 inch rimmed jelly roll pan, and I got this recipe from Everyday Food. And you need some olive oil, a cup of milk, a third of a cup of all-purpose flour, 8 large eggs, a tablespoon of Dijon, salt and pepper, 1 package of frozen spinach, 1.5 cups of shredded cheddar, which is like 6 ounces. You can also use, you could use white cheddar. You could even change up the cheese if you wanted to, maybe a Gruyere or something like that. Heat your oven to 350. Brush the 10 by 15 inch rimmed baking sheet or jelly roll pan with oil and line the bottom of the pan with parchment, leaving a 1 inch overhang on the 2 shorter sides, and then brush the parchment with oil. Then you're going to whisk the milk and the flour together, add the eggs, the mustard, the salt, the pepper, pour into the pan, sprinkle spinach over the top in an even layer, and then bake until the edges of the omelet are set, about 10 to 12 minutes. Then sprinkle with the cheddar and bake until the cheese has melted, 2 to 4 minutes. So easy. And then, beginning at the shorter end, lift the parchment, roll up the omelet tightly, peeling back the parchment as you go, slice and serve. So it's just this rolled egg omelet. And of course, when you slice it, it's just beautiful. And you can you could put that on a bed of fresh greens like arugula, and then you could use like a little truffle oil on that. You could add some other veggies on top of that. What a great dish that is! You can impress your friends with the spinach and cheddar rolled omelet. Once again, that calls for 8 eggs. So, funny how it uses flour, but that's what it says. The milk and the flour, whisk it together. Add your eggs, your mustard, your salt, your pepper. Delicious. This is another one that I think the idea came from. Of course, when you have somebody who comes out with a cookbook like this one from Molly Gilbert, then everybody is going to come up with their own recipe similar to it, and they used her recipe initially. This one serves 4 to 6, and I love this fajita flank steak with peppers and onions. It's the same sort of thing as the rest of them. Put it all in the same pan. 2.5 pounds of flank steak, 4 cloves of garlic minced. You need olive oil, 3 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 cup of freshly squeezed lime juice from like 2 to 4 limes. And still, those limes will set you back a little bit at the grocery store. So, yeah, $1 a piece. Woo! But we love them. A tablespoon of ground cumin, a tablespoon of chili powder, a tablespoon of sugar, a 1/4 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, teaspoon of kosher salt, some olive oil cooking spray, some 4 bell peppers, any color, stem, seeded, and sliced. Or you could use a small bag of those little sweet peppers, all the different colors. A thinly sliced yellow onion, 8 to 12 small flour or corn tortillas, some chopped fresh cilantro, salsa, sour cream, avocado. I would make a spicy chimichurri. Something a little bit different. And possibly an limey avocado-y spread too. Anyway, place the flank steak in a large Ziploc bag or a shallow baking dish and whisk together the garlic, the oil, olive oil, the Worcestershire, the lime juice, the cumin, the chili powder, sugar, red pepper flakes, and salt. Reserve a 1/4 cup of the marinade for the vegetables and pour the rest over the flank steak, turning it to coat. Close the bag or cover the baking dish and marinate the steak in the refrigerator for at least 2 hours or up to 12. When you're ready to cook it, preheat the oven to 450 with one rack about 4 inches from the broiler. And then you have another rack in the center position and another in the bottom position. Line your sheet pan with parchment and mist it with cooking spray. Toss the peppers and onion with the reserved quarter cup of marinade in a large bowl and spread it on the prepared pan. Roast it in the center rack till it starts to brown and soften, like 10 minutes. Remove the pan from the oven and turn the oven to broil. Push the peppers and onion to the perimeter of the pan. Remove the flank steak from the marinade and place it in the center of the pan, surrounded by the veggies. Place the pan on the top rack and broil the steak, flipping it once until it begins to char on the outside, and your thermometer inserted into the thickest part of the meat registers 125 for rare, 135 for medium rare, 3 to 5 minutes per side. And, of course, while that's cooking, you can heat up your tortillas by putting them in the bottom rack in some aluminum foil or, I like to actually char mine a little bit on the stovetop, like in a skillet. Rodney just throws his on the flame. However you want to do it. Once the steak is finished cooking, remove the pan from the oven, turn it off, leave the tortillas in the oven if that's what you've done, and let them warm while the steaks rest. Make sure you let the steak rest for 10 minutes, and then thinly slice it against the grain, sprinkle it with cilantro, and there you have this beautiful flank steak with all the beautiful vegetables around it. You don't even need to take it off of the sheet pan and put it on a platter. Just serve it like it is. So I'm definitely going to try that recipe. Definitely going to try it. Of course, you don't really want to do a whole lot of baking when it's super hot outside or anything, but these are great recipes. I'm going to give you one more. And, of course, you can always do this with salmon and vegetables around the outside, halibut, any of your fish. You can take shrimp, and the same thing. With shrimp, it's going to cook pretty quick. Another one is like sheet pan meatballs with roasted tomatoes, which would be perfect to toss with a little bit of pasta. You would make your meatballs and then put those in the center. And then you have your tomatoes on the outside roasting as well. And you can toss all of that with some pasta, or you could serve that right over the top of a bowl of freshly made polenta. You could also take the polenta. You can buy the store-bought polenta. Comes in the tube. Slice it up. Put a little olive oil and some spices on it and throw that on the pan as well and just roast it all together. Isn't that great? You can do, here's one that calls for like a piece of pork with some Yukon Gold potatoes underneath it, sliced very thin, and then some prosciutto over the top of the pork. And you put all that in the oven and bake it. So you have these little mounds of thinly sliced potatoes, the pork, and then the prosciutto over the top. That's an idea. Sheet pan Asian chicken, beef, pork stir fry or shrimp stir fry. So basically everything that you would use for a stir fry, you can, of course, coat your meat and marinate your meat, coat your meat, throw that in along with all of your other, like your cremini mushrooms, your snow peas, your onions, your carrots. Make sure you cut them all diagonally and cut them thin. And then you can also put some nuts, cashews, almonds, or peanuts in with it and bake it all together. And it's a stir fry without being a stir fry. It's more of a pork. It's a baked dish, Asian dish. That's easy to go over rice or with some noodles. Sheet pan Moroccan chicken. So, you know, thinking about some boneless, skinless chicken thighs cut into pieces with onion, garlic, maybe some oranges, clementines, almonds, ginger, cumin, cinnamon, all of those great Moroccan spices, paprika, lemon juice, olive oil. Mix all of that up, put it on your sheet pan, bake it. Delicious. So I hope that inspired you to get out the sheet pan. I know I am. I'm going to use it a lot more to do these fun little mounds. Also found a really great recipe for some very thinly sliced potatoes with, you could use a whitefish. Well, we would use halibut. Put that over the top, and then you can make like a caper lemon sauce over the top of that and bake it. So you have all these little mounds on your sheet pan. Super easy. You can also blacken your halibut just a little bit and use almost like a chimichurri. Would be delicious. And that's it for Sheet Pan Happiness today. Coming up next, we're going to have the drink of the week. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store on Singley Alley and open 7 days a week with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store. All right, we're back. Back with the drink of the week, and today I picked something out with watermelon. And this is very easy and simple. It's a watermelon gin spritzer. You can make a drink without the gin, too. You can just use some club soda or some sort of a flavored lime soda would be good with this. Or a ginger ale would be super great. Cut the limes into 16 pieces. You're going to have two limes, large limes. Cut the limes into 16 pieces. Squeeze 2 pieces of lime into each of the 8 glasses. Makes 8. Then drop in the squeezed flesh. So plop it in there. Chop the watermelon and divide it among glasses. Throw in some ice cubes. Pour the gin over the top. Pour gin over the top, and you probably want, this set calls for 2 tablespoons of gin. And top with chilled tonic water. So, 2 limes, watermelon, tablespoon of 2 tablespoons of gin, and some tonic. You want to squeeze 1 piece of lime into your glass, throw it in there, then chop, put some watermelon pieces in there, throw in some ice cubes, pour the gin over the top, and top with chilled tonic water. And that's the drink of the week. Like I said, you can do it without gin. Just be creative, add some ginger ale or something like that. And that's it for What's for Dinner today. Thanks for joining me. We'll be back next week with some recipes and tips for cooking. You can always call in and share, 772-3808. And email Mindy at kfsk.org if you'd like to have the recipe for any of these ideas I gave you today. Happy eating. Happy cooking.